Get my glove on. Daylight's on. Well, it's still pretty interesting looking to the north. I used my back to oxygen as a trash can. Picking up some. Oh, 3 degrees out here, apparently. Skies are clear to the south. Let me tell you, to the east and to the north is it's pretty dreary, but not terribly so. Anyway. I don't know if I ever made a recording exactly about status and stuff like that. Pretty riled up on this last Saturday, and I was Lisa kept bugging me about writing to my boss about my status reduction. And to be it's not really an honesty thing. But it's just to mention that in my job at work, I really have been stagnating quite a bit. And don't find a ton of joy in the technical, you know, in the technical stuff. I can do it. Everybody's happy about it, but there's different, but it's different aspects of the job that keep me from just, I think, screaming. And so after I did the Foreign Service test stuff, which I sent a letter off to the testers, and they sent back that I probably wouldn't hear until May about more information about taking the test. So So with that impetus that I had on Saturday for just saying I've got to do something, and I wrote the email to Don. Lisa thought it was a little too, I don't know. Since she wished I would have given it to her before I sent it off, I prayed about it, and I went ahead and sent it off. I always want to be straight up with Don. He's always been so good to me and taking good care of me. And if I'm thinking of making a change that'll affect him, I certainly want to tell him so. I have been, I don't like to say threatening, I've been talking about leaving for, well, almost 2 years, I think. For just making, you know, advances at it. In this professional status thing. You know, there's... It's... I portray it as something institutional that the university had done. And of course, you know, they really had no choice. There's laws to be kept, and they have to keep those laws once they realize they're out of compliance. They need to get into compliance. There is, you know, you can get upset about the situation, but it's a little on the silly side. For just saying, oh, reduction of status, blah, 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 blah. It's just circumstantial, but I'm hoping that people just said, yes, it's circumstantial. We know it's there. We don't choose to look at that. We don't have a choice how we look at it. It doesn't matter. We didn't even, you know, there was nothing to look at. So, taking probably just a statement of what I was doing, so my hope is Don doesn't take it badly. Lisa was concerned that he would. And he might. I hope not. We've talked a little bit after this incident, and not really. I mean, there's just been passing back and forth, and it's all very, you know, perfunctory, yet pleasant, you know, taking care of stuff. He's doing his normal little chit-chat, and I'm doing a little bit more of that than I used to. But, anyway. There's some Eastern jobs, both technical Eastern jobs, at Eastern Free University, in Portales, which is 7 hours away. Went to college there at Eastern. Worked there for a year and a half in 2000-2001. And that was a rise in status opportunity for me. For some reason, I kept looking around yesterday, and I Mesaland had an opening for a position called Distance Education Director. And, that was good because It's got a bit of a technical aspect to it. But what I have would be value added on top of it by a large, to a large extent. It's also professional. I think there may be people working under me. Or at least I have wide-ranging responsibilities. Certainly professional class. Certainly salaried, which answers the problem of, especially with the Foreign Service, of making sure that I continue to stack up time in a profession as opposed to just employment, which boosts the salary and frankly the rank later on when I do get hired. I'd just as soon qualify for a little bit more. Because one can't predict, you know. You may fail the test the first time. May not get selected in the next way up. I think 8 years is a decent time to leave a job. I think if you go much further than that, one kind of wonders why you're making a job change after 10 years. And I can just give you the explanation. It's really simple. That I was taken from professional level to a wage earner level. It was purely administrative. I have my last evaluation, which was sterling. I would just as soon not have another evaluation. Now that they're starting to get them set up, I would just as soon not be here for that. I want that last one to be the last one. I want that to be my terminal my terminal thing. My exit interview, you know. The next one I want is to be my exit interview. So I would like that to come to pass quickly as possible. And I think I'd rather be a more, you know, business user of technology rather than a person that needs to, you know, fix it and needs to be knowledgeable about it. With Windows 8 coming up, which I've always considered to be more consumer, you know, it's really Microsoft saying what the future of computers is going to be as far as it's concerned with. And I think a lot of places are just not coming along for the ride. And the whole thing is you're mostly going to be a buy your own device sort of world. And that to a degree your business use of these products is going to have to compensate somehow. I should have stuck with my I should have just stuck with my with the phone service I had before. I only had a 1-year commitment left on a phone that was broken. I just bought a new phone. And now I've got this new phone. It's a nice phone granted. But I'm going to practically turn off 3/4 of its capabilities. And, anyway, so I'm going to be pulling back way, way back from what I had before. So I won't have a cell phone for all intents and purposes. You know, it'll be for emergencies and stuff like that. And I'll probably give it to Lisa more than anything else to let her be able to have a phone. Of course, she hates these smartphones. They're too difficult to work with. I don't know if I can get her killed or anything else. So, anyway, we'll rig up something inexpensive for her. Buy a cheap little phone and stick the SIM card in it and give it to people for travel and stuff like that. When they're out and about, so they can have, you know, some help, you know, in the car when they go traveling long distance, like when Lelisha goes to Albuquerque and such, that she can. That would be a good feature, and keep Plateau happy enough while we're still here. I don't intend to be here much longer. Maybe a year or two at the most, I hope. Anyway, but let's talk about that publicly. That I need to set myself up a better springboard. So the Eastern jobs, I don't really think I'll ultimately be accepting them or even pursuing them particularly. Well, I can court them, as long as I'm hoping that Mesa Land has a faster process and that they'll be able to, and if they are going to jump at me, if they'll jump at me quickly. And get me in there so that I can get shy of other people and circumstances. The great, you know, the biggest upside of all this would be that, number one, I don't have to move. Since my goal, I think the basic goal is to get into the Foreign Service, because I think that meets, it can possibly meet all of the needs, all of the requirements. You know, if anything else, call it the means test. From the patriarchal blessing, the means to be able to do things. The Lord can have his hand in putting me where he wants me to go. It would matter one way or the other if I stayed here, you know. So to move on to try to get to where I need to go. So I really just assume have the Mesa Land job happen, even if it's a wretched job. I think number one would be a step up. Yeah, the first thing's first. Got to make more money than I make now. If they try to say, oh, well, we'll bring you in at 42, and you go, let me think about that for a minute. If they say, you know, if they say anything less than I'm making now, I have to pray about it really hard. May have to weigh benefits against income. No, I don't. You know, how about that for making it simple? Because every job I get has to be a promotion. Especially since I've got a job. If I didn't have a job, that would be one thing. I do have a job. I don't have to leave it. For reasons, I plan to leave it. You know, it needs to be a promotion. And not just look good on paper. Although, let me tell you, I think at this point in my life, going where I want to go, which is the Foreign Service, I think dumping more time and prestige into technical work is probably not really helpful. I think I've provided enough evidence that I've got the skills and the ability, and you know, and the resume shows it. That now I need to work on a fast management, project management, stuff like that. Stuff that really isn't on the resume in a employed capacity. I can say that it's self-employed, but who on earth believes anything that's said about self-employed? I wouldn't. I want to be low risk, high trust. So the Mesa Lands job is probably the best. You know, when I was doing Plan B in 2012, which was Alaska, predominantly, there's a little Pacific Northwest, but all of a sudden, it's all Alaska. The job at the University of Alaska at Sitka. Basically, analogous to the job I would be getting here. Really needs to, you know, that was exciting. Number one, it was a cool place. It would have been fantastic to go there. They had a ward, so in church parlance, probably in Lord parlance, it probably wouldn't have been really a great benefit. But it started the whole concept of, Jay, you probably need to be pulling yourself out of the technical field. I know the money looks enticing to a lower class person such as yourself, you know, who's motivated mostly by money. You know, you need to be motivated by the things. Personal development, using Margaret's skills and talents. Worried more about your personal and professional development rather than just seeking out funds and getting a better, you know, without putting forth a lot of effort. So these are times that really require, you know, are you going to work harder? Oh, yeah. We really need some projects to get you going. Get that kind of project management skill going a little bit. I think it'll help with the writing ultimately, for being able to just plug away at it, make it happen. Oh, need to show something on the resume. If it's going to be foreign service stuff, that's kosher and something that would look good on that, in that vein. Economic development stuff, I think, would be very, you know, let's see what we can do about doing that. Getting involved in that a little bit. Maybe getting a grant. So I'm starting up a program and administering that. That's what I really see is the possibility here is getting more, something that would be more attractive to the Foreign Service. If I were to go in like now, with what I have now, or what I've been doing for the last 8 years, the basic thought would be, I'm confused, why aren't you going for a IT specialist job? Why are you going for the generalist job? And I need to attack that a little more stridently. And I've always been kind of wondering, what does Shetland have to do with this? Or did Shetland have anything at all? Or was it just yet another example of, I put something else into your path today to steer you towards something? And, you know, it's happened to me before. I have to say that at times I'm a little embarrassed, because one of the impressions I got that I went with was I needed to share with other people my plans, what I'm doing. And and that when I did that, I got all kinds of blowback from it, number one. And now I feel like a fool for having talked so much about it that, you know, it's like, well, that didn't come off. One hates having those things happen. Maybe something's still in the future. Let's not totally discount it. For all we know, the Foreign Service stuff is simply yet another trying to get Jay's faced in the right direction, or in a direction closer to where God wants one to go. Let's work international. Let's look at things that way. Try to, you know, it may be an initiative to try to draw in international students. And we'd need to take a look at that. June K may be a really good transitional place for being, you know, North Coast sometimes referred to as the third world country state, you know. I find it interesting, people in Arizona say, oh, North Coast is a third world country. You know, a bunch of people that eat toe cheese, stuff like this, gross stuff. And that Mesalands may be a little less intimidating. A less intimidating introduction to the United States for people from other countries. And confidence builder. I have to say, you know, I should ride in New Mexico, start out in some dinky little place called Tucumcari. Says, and from there I moved on to a place called Albuquerque, which is much more cosmopolitan. And we can see that as kind of a progression for people who are capable yet lacking in, you know, lacking in transitional skills. How many people do we lose? How many international people do we lose because America is just that intense? And you go, Tucumcari is not intense. That's a good start. Already have started to do kind of gateways to UNM. And that this kind of assimilation, slower assimilation track, can be proposed and see how that flies. For just saying, if Mesalands only appeals to a few random people, this is the prospects for long-term viability seem a little tricky. We need to probably explore the whole concept of wanderlust and know that isn't something bad or evil. Says I took some crap for being that kind of a person. I'll probably also help them when this thing gets starting to get ramped up. But they go, well, he's moving on too. And you go, well, he always kind of feared he would because of what he was talking about. He was one of those sorts of people. Need to find another avenue of attraction. Get new people to come here. Something that other small colleges don't do. You know, big colleges in big cities get involved with the whole, you know, bringing in international students. I said our point is too, is that we just don't need their PhD, Master of the Universe sorts of people. I said that helps on a top level, diplomatic sort of way, but we also need people who come to America that are more of the normal set. Need to fill that gap where there's right now where you hire an American and try to get them to move to Saudi Arabia or someplace like that. To do just above low-level IT work, because there are few opportunities to get that kind of education there. And take it back home. And I think that's what that could be the concept that's being acted on, is that we might want to take young people from Afghanistan or Iraq, bring them here for the kind of training and educational experience that they lack there. You know, there's this big hole and that you want people who say Americans are wonderful. I mean people on the ground, not just your high level pandering to the conquering power people. You know, this would be an attempt to combat the Vichy effect. Where you can get grasping powerful people to sign on to the Nazi doctrine, because they will get the, you know, the incentives for it are great, but it's only at the highest level. That if you want to have a good disposition toward America, if you don't just want right now what I would consider to be Soviet invasion doctrine part two, that we need inexpensively in these difficult times to make an inexpensive pathway so that we can take regular Afghans or Iraqis, for instance, start them on the path here, this place is probably more like where they come from than any other place in the United States. From just a looking around and seeing how it is aspect of it. Solve perception problems and get people who say, I went to America, I was among them, they're trustworthy people that are trying to help. Perfect, Gus, no, but so that you actually have not just your bought and paid for big leaders that you've been, you know, buying off, manipulating. Everybody knows it happens, so let's just be honest. This is the best that we have. A man or a woman in a city or a village who says, I went to America, he sent me to a place where it felt a lot like home. And I got to, you know, it's just rubbing shoulders with Americans that aren't carrying a gun, with Americans that aren't telling you what to do, particularly. This is the, say, the lowest level of diplomacy, but I think the one that will ultimately win the day for saying, we want people to want a conversion of the normal person, of the populace, to American ideals, to American ways of thinking, because you have to bring them into America. When you bring them here to go to a big name cause, because you've tested them and they have this wonderful capability to become this great, this great scientist, things like that. What typically happens is that person, once they're trained, stays here. And there's good reason to stay here. The whole point of this effort would be that they would come here for a short time, spend a few years among us, and do the kind of and do with the intention that they will be able to have basically the same life they have there, but have all those opportunities without the political wrangling over it. I can't be a friend to the Americans. You know, the Americans are trying to destroy us. And you go, no, we want you to come here, and we want you to share your culture with us. While you're also taking advantage of probably what doesn't really exist in there yet, any kind of post-secondary education. They might be able to have cooperative agreements with universities in Iraq and Afghanistan for saying, we want to help you bridge a gap. We want somebody from every small town, every village, to come to a place in the United States that probably will be easier to come out with. And I think in doing that, we also need to talk to the city council about saying we need home rule here and we need to lighten things up. This is, we've got a lot of empty houses, number one. We need to let third world ways kind of hold sway here so that we can be a transitional place. Let them come here, let them live here. And I think a fascinating thing will happen. Not only can we say, well, you know, we're making their lives better, you know what, they're going to make our lives better. Because I think they're going to show us a way of living, a way of interacting that will help bring us together. Right now, I think America's biggest problem is our basic abhorrence to the way of life that they have. You know, our biggest need is that we're going to use a gun to try to get them to change their way of living. The proverbial, I'll kick you toward your own death, toward your own potential, kicking and screaming. We need to help them. And so this may end up turning into a community effort, spearheaded by the college. The college needs to survive. That means the college needs to pretty much do all the work and help the community come along. You know, there's going to be resistance. Sure, there's going to be people that go, we don't want those people here. And you go, you understand what circumstance you're in. Chicken carries dying. It says we need fresh inflows of people. I mean, our intention is not that they stay. Tucum Carries always has been a way station. It's always been part of a journey. You would stop here, eat, take care of personal needs, and then you would move on. I said, that's still true today. I said, we need to make Tucum Carry not just a way station on Interstate 40, but a way station on the road of life. And internationally so. Bump up the whole concept of this, that we're all just sojourners here. Whether it be on a religious standpoint of you come to this earth, you live for a little while, and then you move on to your next, or let's make it a little more secular, next realm of existence. Make it an international crossroads. Meeting of cultures and minds to be able to do these sorts of things. See what we can pull together. And these are the kinds of things that will make me so unique and so different that when I get invited somewhere, and we'll be competing with anybody else. It'll be, we're bringing this guy here because we want to have that happen in our world. Little places that want more people, want economic development, and they've put it down to just that kind of a finally gotten down to that concept. But their biggest problem is we don't have enough people. There's too much we can't do that we need to do, and you can only do if you've got a base of people. That's the way we lift others. We need a variety of ways to lift others and to spread Western and American concepts. And that this can be want to do something that's modeling, want to do something that's intriguing. I think the wind turbine thing's fantastic. We need to build on that. This is becoming a big thing in many countries. We need to make this more of a big thing in maybe the more sustainable way in the developing world. There's a low cost way of doing it. City's already here, you don't have to build it up. College is already here, you don't have to build that up. Wind programs already here, you don't have to build that up. Infrastructure already in place and operating at a pretty low budget. The adding of additional students to it is quite the system's working well. What it just needs is more people. And that we need to open up more. Say that we're going to do this and do this and do this, and we're going to get exemptions. And this is going to allow people of limited means, it's already a place with a low cost of living. Let's capitalize on that. That is not a bad attribute at all. It allows us more flexibility because we don't have to protect a little chunk of a big city from getting bought up by rich people and developed into condos. That so much happens, the old ghetto just next to Texas, Lubbock, the old tech ghetto. It's disappearing for the fact that that Texas Tech its cheapness is getting bought up by those with big pockets. And Tucson Kerry isn't there. Nobody's looking at it, and that's important. Because one needs to preserve that as much as they can. But the first and foremost thing is to loosen up things like property taxes, to loosen up things like building restrictions, permitting process. A lot of these things just need to kind of fade away quite a bit. So, try something interesting, and let me tell you, would it be an interesting thing to a place like Shetland to say that this is happening? Give a little bit of hope to a lot of places that say, wow, you know, this is something where a big city can't compete with us. This doesn't work in a big city. This only works in a little dying place. So you can involve rural development in it. To run an experiment, a model. To do something. Frankly, to bring in people who are much more capable of sustainable living than Americans apparently are anymore. Out that way. He has something to teach us too. We need to be able to do this better. We're falling off the map. We don't need to. So, there's a thought for what to do over there. This is Jay. Jason, bye.